High, low water buffalo. That's what we call it in our family. Okay. High, low water buffalo is what we do when we get together for dinner as a family. Everyone shares something that went great from their day, a high. Something that wasn't so great, maybe something they want prayer for, a low. And then since it would be odd to see a water buffalo in your day, water buffalo, something strange from your day. High, low water buffalo is how we kick things off at dinner in the Cohen house. Except that my kids lately have decided to co-opt high-low water buffalo time for their own purposes because they prefer, it seems now, to play a game called Around the Room. Now, Around the Room is when one person in the family selects a question and everyone in the family has to answer it individually before another question can be raised. And at various times and in various ways, a question that sort of keeps coming up in Around the Room is the question, if you had $100 million, what would you do with it? Cue my wife Andrea's lecture on using your money to serve God's kingdom. It's like my kids don't even know. They're just tossing her up this softball, and she just cracks it out of the park every time. But it's a great question. Like, what would you do? What would you ask for if Jeff Bezos, if Elon Musk, if Warren Buffett, if your celebrity billionaire of choice said, you can ask anything of me, and it will be given to you? You know, the one thing that none of us would ask for is nothing. If Elon, he and I, we're on a first name basis, if Elon asks, what do you want, you ask. And to our shock, to our amazement, to our wonder, and if we're honest, somewhat to our confusion, at the heart of our passage this morning is the creator of the universe inviting us to ask and promising that it will be given to us. Matthew 7, verse 7. Notice it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So the eternal Son of God invites us to ask our Father and promises that it will be given to us. Now, January is prayer emphasis month for City Light Church. That means that every sermon this month is going to focus on prayer. It means every city group gathering is a prayer night. It means that each one of us is setting aside 15 minutes every day to do nothing but prayer, and then it will all culminate on Wednesday evening, January 31st, when we gather in this room for a church-wide night of prayer. And at the heart of a praying church is asking. Probably my favorite book on prayer outside the Bible is a book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. And in that book, Paul Miller says that you can summarize Jesus' entire teaching on prayer in the New Testament with one word. Ask. Ask. And City Light, we have so much to ask our Father for this year, don't we? We have so much to ask our Father for as a church family and as individuals. I mean, first, let's just think of all we have to ask the Father for this year as a church family. I mean, Lord willing, next Sunday, we will both transition to 3 Sunday morning services, and City Light Delco, our daughter congregation, will transition to being an accredited independent church. Lord willing, City Light Church will be worshiping in our new, fully funded facility by Christmas of 2024. Lord willing, the Father will give us a clear vision for how to use that facility to let our light shine before others that they may see our good deeds and give glory to our Father in heaven. Lord willing, a team of 20 people will be living in New York City and committed to planting City Light New York City by the end of 2024. Lord willing, in 2024, City Light New York City will see its first convert to faith in Christ. Lord willing, by the middle of 2024, City Light Church will have a new executive pastor. And Lord willing, this year, we will see more people baptized through City Light Church than any year before, which would be amazing because in 2023, we baptized 15 more people than in 2022. We have so many things to ask for. But it's not just us as a church family. Think about your life individually. So many of us in this room, we're desiring in 2024 to see significant God-glorifying biblical breakthrough in our lives. We're longing to see God-glorifying breakthrough in our putting sin to death, putting on the joy of the Lord, God-glorifying breakthrough in our career, in our family, in our marriage, maybe some area of our marriage that is stuck, with our children, in glorifying God with our finances, and so forth. We have so many desires for good and plans for God's glory for 2024, and Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, "Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We have so many desires for good and plans for God's glory in our lives personally, in our life together as a church, and then Jesus, right in the midst of it, says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And that brings us to the big idea of our passage this morning. Ask. One word, ask. I mean, look at the very first word in our passage. Ask. Look at the most repeated word throughout our passage. Ask. And so this morning, we're going to look at asking from three angles, three points. Ask boldly. Ask persistently. And ask because you have a good father. Ask boldly, ask persistently, and ask because you have a good father. Let's begin with the first. Ask boldly. The reason why we ask our Father boldly for good gifts is because Jesus makes extravagant promises about asking. Since Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you," we ask boldly. Matthew 7, verse 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." We ask boldly because Jesus promises extravagantly. Jesus' extravagant promises about prayer, they're the fuel for our bold asking. They're the key that unlock bold asking. The reason why we ask our Father boldly for good gifts is because Jesus makes an extravagant promise. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Jesus' promising fuels our bold asking. Now, I love to hike. You know, Andrea and I, it's probably our favorite thing to do is to hike together. We'll hike anywhere, but we prefer to hike where there's a trail, you know, where there's an actual path. Because when you're hiking on a trail, if you stay on the path, you're good. But if you fall off the trail on the left or the right, it can ruin your day. I mean, some of the places Andrew and I have hiked in this world, it could ruin your life. And prayer, especially asking, is actually similar to a hiking path. In Paul Miller's book, Praying Life, he has this asking prayer path. You'll see it on the screen behind me. Now, I want you to notice on the good asking path, a follower of Jesus can fall off the path on one side or the other. So on the one hand, we can fall off the asking path by asking selfishly. In fact, the book of James says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend it on your lusts." You see, asking selfishly is either when we ask for things that God has forbidden, or it's when our asking actually becomes a demand. God, I'll worship you if you'll give me this. I'm all in if you'll do that. And what that really reveals is that we love what we're asking for more than our Father from whom we're asking it. And the Bible teaches, this isn't the only reason why a prayer might not be answered, but the Bible teaches, ask selfishly, and it will not be given to you. So asking selfishly is a real problem, and it's something we want to repent of, turn from. Now, having said that, I can tell you without hesitation, after a dozen years of the privilege of being your pastor, that as a church, our far greater temptation is falling off the other side of the asking path. Our far greater temptation as a church is we do not have because we do not ask. James says we do not have because we do not ask, and the far greater temptation that we face as a church is we do not have because we're just not asking. You know, sometimes it can be tempting as Christians to solve problems we don't have. We start thinking, oh, easy on all that asking stuff. We might get selfish. We might ask too much. It's like, you're solving someone else's problem. Us at City Light, for the most part, with exceptions, our primary temptation isn't, boy, I'm just asking so selfishly. It's that we're not asking at all. I think Paul Miller summarizes our great temptation quite well. He writes, if you are not praying, if you're not asking, then you are quietly confident that time, money, and talent are all you need in life. I think that our church is full of people who have a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of talent, and plenty of money. And so our temptation is to assume that that's all we need to live a God-glorifying life, and so we don't ask. So honest question. Why don't you ask your Father boldly for good gifts? Why is it? Like, why are you hesitant, even a little nervous, about asking your Father boldly for good gifts? I mean, some of the reasons probably surface level, but just out of the habit. I think for most of us, it's like, well, I'm just in the habit of living as though hard work and talent are all I really need to get on in life. It's just a habit. But if you go beneath the surface, there's more there. You know, Jesus said, pray for our daily bread. But I think many of us get uncomfortable praying for material things. You know, it feels too selfish, which is odd because we're comfortable working 50 hours a week for those things. We're just not comfortable praying for 15 minutes for them. That reveals a very odd view of our Father. It's like, I'll work for sales, I just won't pray for sales. If you won't pray for it, I dare say, please don't be working for it. But there's more to it than that. Many of us don't ask because we've grown cynical toward the Father. We look at the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. We look at ourselves and go, I'm never really going to change. Why ask? We look at our marriages and we go, I don't think that's ever going to get unstuck. Why ask? We look at our careers and go, I don't think this is ever turning around. We look at our world or our city and go, for his kingdom to come? The truth is we've grown cynical. Now, whether we're not asking boldly for good gifts because we're out of the habit, or because we have an odd view of our Father, or because we've grown cynical, or just plain old unbelief, I think it would actually help us at this point in our prayer emphasis month to admit we have a collective problem with asking. We're stuck in functional independence. We're a little bit like, in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, we're a little bit like Christian who is imprisoned in Doubting Castle. We're imprisoned to not asking, but there is a key. There is a key that can unlock us from our functional independence. There is a key that can unlock us from independence so that we can begin asking boldly, and the key is the promise. The key is the promise. Jesus' extravagant promises about prayer, his promise is what unlocks us from unbelief and gets us asking boldly again. So listen to the promise again, Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. I'll tell you why Jesus didn't make that promise. You want to know why Jesus didn't promise, ask and you'll receive? Jesus didn't make that promise so that we could endlessly qualify it. Jesus did not make that promise so that we can endlessly qualify it and come to the conclusion, you know what he really meant? Ask and you probably won't receive. No, he did not give us this promise so that we would qualify it. You want to know why he gave us this promise? To dare us to start asking boldly. Jesus' extravagant promises about prayer are here in the Bible to get us asking boldly, to unlock bold asking so that we could be free from Doubting Castle. That's why, by the way, this is not an isolated incident. It's not the only place Jesus says stuff like this. Just listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John about prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive that your joy may be full. Ask boldly because Jesus is making an extravagant promise to you. Ask and it will be given. Now, the second step on the asking path is ask persistently. Ask boldly because Jesus makes extravagant promises that dare us to ask our Father. But secondly, ask persistently. See if you can spot the persistence in the first two verses of our passage. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, ask, seek, knock are not three different activities. It's three different ways of describing the same activity. In other words, it's three different ways of describing what good praying is like. So good praying is like asking. Good praying is like a child who trusts their parent and goes and asks boldly with no pretense. But that's not all that good praying sounds like. Good praying is also like persistent seeking. When Andrea and I met, I was a junior in college, she was a sophomore, and it was love at first sight for me. It seemed I didn't quite have the same effect on her. And so I sought her. Now, not in a creepy way. Like, gentlemen, if she says no thank you, the answer is no thank you. I don't know why we would think that that's code for try harder. Now, if she says no, that's it. You know, don't ask out on a second date. But Andrea didn't say, no, don't ask me out again. She just wasn't in love at first sight. So I kept pursuing. I kept seeking. I kept at it. And eventually, I found what Proverbs 31 calls an excellent wife. And that's what good praying is like. It's like seeking for something that you desperately want and you're persistent, you don't give up. And good praying is also like desperate knocking. I saw this video, I think it was on Instagram. I can't find it. I shouldn't say I can't find it again. I didn't even try. But it was like this young teenager was running away from a bully. And he's running from a bully toward a house. I don't know if it's his house or friend's house, whatever. Again, I'm a little hazy on the video. And he just gets to the door and he starts banging on the door persistently. Maybe you guys have seen this. And like out comes this large person who protects him from the bully. And that knocking, that's what good praying is like. It's like that desperate, the person behind this door is the only one who can come through for me. Praying is persistent. It's both bold and persistent. It's asking, but it's also seeking and knocking. And I'll tell you that the best way that I've learned to ask boldly and stay persistent, or I should say the best technique I've learned for keeping at it and asking persistently, is making prayer cards. prayer cards, which, by the way, is, if you're wondering, why were there 5 3x5 index cards on my chair today? It's for this reason. Would you grab those for a moment? I learned about prayer cards several years ago when I read Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life, for the first time. Prayer cards, let me just share with you how they work for me. Prayer cards are sort of like a written snapshot of a situation, a person, or a desire that I want to ask God for boldly and stay at it persistently. And so what I'll tend to do is write just very short phrases on a 3x5 card that remind me what I'm asking for. I'll often put a passage of scripture on there so that I'm putting the word to work. And then I can come back to it daily or weekly and just ask boldly, ask persistently. And one of my favorite things about prayer cards, well, two of them. One is then you don't have to rewrite your prayer list every day. You know, if you rewrite a prayer list every day, what ends up happening is all you have time for is writing the list. You know, and then you get done and you're like, I don't have any time to pray. And then the other thing I love about it is then it's a way of tracking God's story, tracking his answers to prayer so that you can praise him for it, and it really builds your faith. So I brought my prayer cards. I'll give you just a couple examples of how this works and then some instruction for what to do with your cards. So this is a personal card. This is a personal God card. And it's for me. It says, prayer to be good and angry. That's actually the title of a book on anger that I read because I struggle with anger. And actually, you struggle with anger or you're a liar. We all struggle with anger. And so I just put this simple prayer, to be good and angry, not easily irritated. And then I have these two passages from Proverbs to put to work. Proverbs 12:16 says something like, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. And then I have Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but the wise man quietly holds it back. Like I know that our contemporary world and your therapist says, just let it out. Just let it out. You know, your therapist's not smarter than the Bible. Sometimes you need to keep it in. It's okay. The wise person doesn't give full vent to their spirit. The wise person instead can quietly hold it back, laying it before the Lord, and then take a God-honoring step forward. And so this is something I'm praying for myself because I struggle with anger. And I want to have words that give life to my wife, to my children. I want to have godly thoughts about the people around me. So that's a personal one. This next one is my City Light New York City prayer card. Okay, so I've got down on here, you know, I'm praying for 12 people from City Light to move, 8 people from outside of City Light to join the crew, hopefully people that are like already in New York City and love the city. I'm praying for financial provision, for one conversion, for protection for Tim and Sarah and their girls, and it just gives me a snapshot. I can come back to praying it persistently. So here's what I want you to do. Take these prayer cards home with you. They're yours. And I want to encourage you, make a couple prayer cards that are specific things that you want to ask for City Light Church. Like big, bold, believing prayers for City Light. And then make a few that are big, bold, believing prayers for yourself or for your family, people around you. Bring those with you to City Group this week. They're going to be part of our prayer night at City Group this week. Now, with that said, that brings me third and finally to the ultimate reason why we ask boldly and ask persistently. Third and finally, ask because God is a good father. The ultimate reason why we ask and seek and knock and we're bold and believing and persistent in prayer is because God is a good father. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The reason why we ask boldly and ask persistently is because God is in heaven. He does all that he pleases. He's totally capable. No one can thwart his purposes. And because he's our Father, he's full of compassion. And he is near and he loves to give good gifts to his children. Yeah, my wife She bought our children for Christmas this year such wonderful gifts. I was as surprised as they were when I saw them opened. That was my contribution. I'd say, you know, we bought them gifts, but that would be a lie. But it was such a joy for us to give the kids those gifts. It was such a joy for us to watch their faces when they opened them and to see the way that they enjoyed these gifts. And Jesus says, me and Andrea are evil compared to our Father in heaven. He loves to give good gifts to his children. The fatherhood of God is at the heart of a praying church. And the wonder of the fatherhood of God is seen perhaps most beautifully in the reality that we were not born children of God. We are not naturally children of God, and neither is anyone out there. We are by nature and choice children of God's wrath. The New Testament puts it this way, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." We are not naturally children of God. We are naturally children of God's wrath, destined for eternal destruction away from the comforting presence of God. But God, because he is rich in love, predestined to adopt us as sons. Ephesians chapter 1, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. The fatherhood of God is why we ask boldly and ask persistently. As J.I. Packer puts it in his classic work, Knowing God, what is a Christian? The question can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as father. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. By his grace, through faith, we are the adopted children of God in Christ Jesus alone. And so let's be the people who do everything by asking boldly, asking persistently, because we have a good Father in heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we have heard your word. Help us to quickly forget any and everything that wasn't of you. Father, give us faith to believe your word, strength to obey your word, and hearts that absolutely love it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.